Hey everybody, David Craig here. We're so excited that you've joined us for the Miracle Channel podcast. Today's message is from one of our very own Miracle Channel original pastors. It is always an honor to get to share some of our favorite Sunday messages with you here. Let's get into the podcast.
The Bible says to always remember the things that God has done, to thank Him, to honor Him for the work that He does in our lives. And that's how I see Legacy Sunday, that we're going to remember what God has done through the gift of our senior pastor and all that he lived and breathed to bring God's life to this earth, to just speak God's love onto this planet. And so we're going to honor Pastor Leon's just tenacity and perseverance and leadership. But what we're really doing is thanking God and honoring God for how he worked through a man who just said, "Lord, use me. Here I am." And that same heart, that same posture, I pray that each of us adopt that posture. That we take a book from take a page from the book of Pastor Leon, who always said, "I'm not anybody special. I just dare to believe that God can use me." And every believer is called into that life. Yes, God sees us as special, but you understand. And God wants to use you in mighty ways. And the only way that Jesus is going to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle is if you and I step up and rise up to be all that God's called us to be and to take God at his word. And he's calling you into that. And here at Springs, we are passionate about preaching the power, the life of God. You are never going to get religion here. Never have, and never will we ever preach religion here. We preach Jesus. We preach the life of Holy Spirit, the power of God. And we've seen him transform our lives these last 30 years. And if you're newer, don't go anywhere. Stick around because you are in a great company of people who are not perfect, but who dare to believe God for all that he has. And yes, thank you, Lord. It's serious business. We're not here to just que sera, sera, live life however we feel. We are called to something amazing. We are called to something so great, not by our own power, not by our own might. Thank you, Jesus, because I can't do it. You can't do it in your own strength. But we're called to do life with him, to do great exploits with him. And I would rather do everything with him than anybody else. And I'm excited to share the word that I feel God's put on my heart for you guys today. And I always feel just so overwhelmed by the goodness of God, because what I'm teaching to you, he's ministering to me first. And it's setting me free while I'm helping share the word and trusting Holy Spirit to set you free like he sets me free. And that is the power of the word. And you've heard me say this before, but don't come here not expecting anything. God is the God of more, and there is so much that he wants to pour into you and reveal to you. But if you don't come believing, just choosing, okay, I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works either. I don't know how he is and all the things that he is, and I don't know. We are not God. So don't approach God trying to be God, trying to, well, how does it all work? And be who he made you to be and realize I'm his child. And a child goes to their loving father for direction and for love and support and encouragement. I think about my children and how we lead them, we guide them, we nurture them, we care for them. And that is the heart of Father God for you. And I'm on a mission to destroy what religion has done to humanity, what religion has done to people who thought they knew who God was. Because God's calling you into something real and authentic, something so close, so real, so yours and personal that you're convinced that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8. And that's what he's calling you into. You know, I met my husband online. And for all of you who were blessed to not have to meet someone online, I mean, I am blessed because I got my husband out of it, but it was quite the journey, online dating, let me tell you. You know, when you go online, you fill out your profile and you fill out who you are, what you're all about, what you're looking for, what you believe, and you're just trusting that what they've written is the truth. And, you know, I learned about my husband. How many of you know Jaden? He's in the coffee shop a lot. Okay, so there's quite a few of you that know him. Good guy, right? Yeah. I was not looking to clap for Jaden, but I'm glad you enjoy him. But you know him. When I said his name, for those of you who have met him and experienced him, you were thinking of his face, you were recalling maybe conversations you've had because you've experienced Jaden. You've gotten to know him. And you know, when I met him online, all I knew was what I could read and learn about him, right? I could learn about him and read his profile for what he put there for me. And I had to take a step to decide that I didn't just want to learn about him, but that I could know him, that I could experience him, right? And so, you know, what do? Sometimes we come up with all the excuses when you're online dating. You're like, oh, he's too handsome for me, or he's not gonna think I'm beautiful, or, oh, what if he doesn't look like his picture? Like, what if it's somebody else? And like, like, what if, you know? And you come up with these excuses in the online dating world until you really start getting confident to get to know people. At first, you'll come up with all these excuses as to like, oh, should I? And I don't know. And but there is a huge change that takes place when you go from learning about someone to actually experiencing and knowing them. So I messaged him. We started, he lived not in Calgary, so we our relationship was long distance for most of our courtship or dateship, whatever you call it. And, you know, you get to know each other. And then I heard his voice. And then I, you know, he'd come into town and or I'd visit him and we'd go on a date. And what did it take to get to know him? It took my attention, right? It took me giving him my attention, seeking to understand him, to learn about him, to figure out, is this the man that I want to attach my destiny to? Is this, you know, and all that that goes with it. We're not talking about that today. But but what I believe is the church has been robbed for many decades on this teaching of just learning about God. You know, we read our Bible and we learn about him. Yeah, he's a healer. He's a protector. He sent Jesus because he loved you. Yeah, cool. I'm learning about God. I'm opening my Bible. And we get robbed of the fact, because religion always puts you at a distance, right? And sometimes our own humanity and our own stinking thinking and our excuses and our thoughts, we distance ourselves from the Father. Meanwhile, he's always been closer than a, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Close, he's been close. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Yet we get to decide how close, how intimate. And God isn't calling you to just know a bunch of stuff about him, to just learn about him. And we rob ourselves when we approach God from learning about him when we're called to experience him, to know him intimately and personally and individually. God is a personal, individual God. He knew you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Wow. Before he formed you, he's thinking just about you. I think one thing we shortchange ourselves is we see God generically. Does that make sense? Like, oh yeah, he loves all of us. And we just kind of like dump everything in, but he's specific and he's intimate and he's personal. And just look around the room. We're all very different.
His creativity, what he wanted out of each human, the gifts he gave us, the call, the talents, the way we see things, the way we are loud or quiet or soft or quirky or explosive, you know, all the different personalities, all the different ways that you can see how individual he is and how he wants to express himself in us. And all the good things are from him. Everything good, the word says, is from him, right? All the bad things in us are just choices we've made, maybe belief systems we've adopted throughout life. And when we come to God, he'll help. He'll help turn that around. He'll help take away those things and show you who you really are. So before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I believe, well, I know, based on the word of God, that God wants you to know him. That God wants you to know him with everything you are. And when we truly know God, and I'm not saying like, okay, great, I know everything, but when we know that he wants us to know him and we live that way, life dramatically changes. It dramatically changes. A Pharisee who was a lawyer asked Jesus in Matthew one time, what's the greatest law in the commandments? Teacher, what's the greatest law? Oh, you lawyers. We love you. I'm not saying anything negative, I'm just saying. I just think it's funny that a lawyer asked it, right? What's the greatest law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything in the word, everything about who God is love. Love. You could just put a period right after it. But unfortunately, not everyone has experienced true love, right? Real love, because the Bible says God is love. So if your introduction to love was not through God, or someone who was seeking God and had a relationship with God, you weren't introduced to real love. But the beauty of it is when God fills you, when you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says that the greatest miracle on earth happens. His spirit comes into your dead spirit and it is filled with his presence. Love comes to you. The Bible says we love because, yeah, he first loved us. You know this one, it's a classic. Every verse is a classic, but you know. So our ability to love is because before I formed you in the womb, I already loved you. I already designed you. I already created you. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, just as he chose us in him, he chose you before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose you in love before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons. We are sons and daughters of the Most High when we give our life to Jesus according to the good pleasure of his will. It brings him good pleasure that you're his daughter, that you're his son. It's his will that you would know him because he's known you since before the foundation of the world. So let's not shortchange ourselves and give ourselves excuses for why we can't know God or why we can't understand the Bible. I feel like God was just really challenging me this week. Like, Eden, if you say you're gonna take me at your word, then let's go all the way. Love the Lord your God with all. I love that word. It appears in the scripture a lot. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Have you ever thought about how? How do I do that? How do I love God with all? You'll notice in scripture that God never calls you to do something or tells you who you are without that he was that first. What God calls you to be, he is, because he lives inside of you. And we're called to live in him, right? Acts 17:28, I believe. In him, We live and move and have our being. We are called to live in him. So when he says, love me with all of your heart, it's because he loved you with all of his heart first. We love because he first loved us. So this all thing, God knows you, he made you, and what he calls you to, he knows you are capable of it with him, in him. It's not by might, it's not by your own strength, it's not by your power, it's not even in you figuring it out logically. Love the Lord with all of your heart. That one came first, right? Proverbs 23:7, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the forces of life. God cannot guard your heart for you. He calls you to do it because you are the keeper of your heart. God will protect your free will all the way to the gates. Love gave you free will. Love gave you autonomy. Love gave you the ability to choose who you are going to be, what you're going to believe, and what you're going to do. But thank God for his word. Thank God that he didn't leave us to figure it out, but he sent Jesus, finished it on the cross, and this word became life to us, and it leads us and it guides us. What you find in the word, when you look at the Old Testament, when you look at Adam and Eve and the choice they made, and you look at every story, every person that God had to use because he gave us authority, God must work through man, must. But he desires us, he pursues us. When you look at the Old Testament, up until today, up into the scriptures that are spoken over us, he has always been pursuing you. In love, with great plans, with Jesus. Come on, receive my son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever, it is for every single human being on the planet. God's wishes above all things that everyone would know him, that no one would perish without him. But he has to protect your free will. But he will try at everything to show you his love before you come to know him, right? The Holy Spirit will convict you that you need a savior. Eden, you're hitting your head on the wall because you weren't meant to do life by yourself, Eden. What's our original purpose? Let's go back to the garden. God walked and talked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And what did God say to Eve and Adam when they said, we're naked? Who told you that? Very clear indication that his voice is the only voice that we need to listen to. Who told you that? Who are you listening to? That we were meant to live led by his voice, led by his love, filled with his presence. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And being led by God is your choice 100%. 100, not 80-20. God's always 100%. That's why he's calling you to all. Hey, look, I gave you all. Now I think you could give me all. Why does he call for all of your heart, all of your soul? I was thinking about that yesterday, and I felt like God was just, this thought popped in my head, and I was reminded of a song that I sing with Oscar every night before bed. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Many of you know that song. God needs all of your heart because God is so big. Because God wants to fill every part of you with his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his goodness. His spirit is living in your spirit. But your thoughts, your feelings, your personality, just because it says in him we live and move and have our being doesn't mean it happens automatically. You have autonomy. You have choices to make. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, because it's your choice. But why does he need all? Because he's so big. because he's more. The power at work in you, I don't have this one written down, Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that is at work in you, he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask, all you imagine, or all your wildest dream, your wildest request, some of the different translations say. It's his power at work in you, and he wants to fill you, heart, mind, soul, strength. This is really good news, because our God is the creator of the universe. Our God is love. Our God has only been good, is good, and will only always be good. Why you want to give him all of your heart and soul and mind and strength is that he never changes. How amazing. With God, when you read his word, it's only guarantees. Isn't that cool? That as you seek him, you will find him. Because he's not playing hide and seek. He's close. He's been pursuing you your whole life. He chose before the dawn of time that he wanted to love you. But because of sin entering this world, there's a couple barriers now. But it doesn't stop his love. Nothing can separate you. And when you choose him, oh, that's when things change. When you choose Jesus and you start that adventure, and I know some of you might be thinking, yeah, Eden, this is a great message for people who don't know Jesus. No, this message is exactly for you too. For those of you who know Jesus, there is more to know about God. There is more that God is calling you into. And make sure that when you're approaching the Word, when you're here on a Sunday, you're not just, oh yeah, I'm gonna learn about God. You are experiencing the very presence of God. When you hear the Word, when I speak that Word over you, when you open your Bible, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything good that you see is made by God. And yet we have the audacity to give excuses as to why we can't understand things or why we can't know him. When we look to Scripture, because that is our authority. That is how we know God, right? John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He became flesh and made known the will of the Father. So the Word is everything. You can't just decide to know God and never open your Bible. It's going to be a really long process, really grueling. Like, God's already spoken, God's already ordained and called you to things, and you learn those things in his word. And Jesus made it very clear in John 8, 31 to 32. He said to the Jews who believed him, he said, I've got so many scriptures. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. So we need the truth in our lives, and we need to abide in it, which means dwell, live. We are not meant to understand this life in our own power, to try to know things on our own. Jeremiah 33:3. Some people call this God's phone number. You'll find out why. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I preached a message recently. You don't know. There's a lot of things you don't know. And when you come to that realization that I am not God, he is God, and he loves me, and he made me, and before I was even formed in the womb, he knew me. He knows me. There's no hide and seek with him, so we need to quit playing hide and seek. Oh, he doesn't want to see these parts of my life. They're too dirty. They're too horrible. He wouldn't understand. Hello, he knew you before you were even formed in the womb. It's a lie from the pit of hell that you can't know him, or that God can't handle your questions, or that God can't understand where you're coming from. Are you kidding me? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, he says. Don't worry about anything, he says, but instead, pray about everything. What is it? Call to me, and I will answer you. But what we shortchange ourselves, we rob ourselves, is we just get stuck in the, but how? Like how, like Eden, how is he gonna show me how to be a better wife? Or like, how will I know his voice? And so then we just don't call. And we get caught up in excuses and like, well, but I just don't understand. Faith isn't about understanding. Faith is about trusting. And as you take that step of faith and you believe that God wants to know you and show you things, you receive revelation. And God knows you. He knows how you tick. He knows your personality. What I've found is how he speaks to one, the thoughts he gives you, the images, the desires are different because we're different people. They're all based in the word. They're all out of the foundation of his word. God will never go against his word. God will never tell you to do something that his word tells you not to do. They're one and the same. He is his word, spirit, life. And Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit who gives life. Not you, not your doctor, not the government, not living the best life you know how and trying to read your Bible every day and learn about God and check, 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 religion, 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 religion. It's the spirit. Let's get it straight. Where does life come from? It is the spirit, our creator, our father that gives us life. And check this out. The flesh profits zippo. Nothing. Zero. And many of us will try to reach God through our flesh, through our understanding. But I don't get it, Eden. How is he gonna, like, you haven't lived my marriage, Eden. There's no way my spouse will change. Flesh profits nothing. Don't try to understand it in your own reasoning, by your own self, because that's why you're frustrated. That's why you're disappointed, Eden, because you're coming. You're not even coming to me, Eden. You're trying to figure things out in your flesh, and Eden, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit who gives life. And by the way, Eden, I live in you. I go wherever you go. And if you would just call my phone number, Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. But what do we usually do? We search Google, or we ask a pastor on Sunday, or we speak our doubt. Well, I just don't know. Like, I know that the pastor said this, and we talk about it with our friend or a spouse, but like, I don't know that it's for everyone. And we get stuck thinking to ourselves. We need to think to him. Bring your thoughts, bring your questions, bring your lack of understanding to him, because what does he say? I will show you great things that you do not know. It's okay that you don't know. It's wonderful that you don't. Because as long as you take that not knowing and you go to the source and you believe that God is going to speak to me, that God loves me completely, wholly, as in W-H-O-L-L-Y. He loves you fully. He loves every part of you, and he can handle the dirty bits. He can handle the things you're ashamed of. He can handle the things that you've done or have been done to you. And in fact, he wants you to give those things to him. So religion would have you believe you're not good enough. Religion would have you believe since you got divorced, you'll never get a good spouse. Are you kidding me? Read the Bible. The Bible is so clear. The word of God, his character, it's all throughout it. And not only is it in his word, it lives in you. And so you're feeding your spirit, you're understanding who you are, and you're deciding, I can know him. Jesus said in John 7, let me see. I'm getting myself revved up. In John, he said, and I'm gonna find it, John 17, I knew it was 17, 3, and this is eternal life. And by the way, he's praying to God here. How cool is it that we can see Jesus' prayers? And I love that I can read what he spoke to God, how he prayed, because he's our example, the Bible says. And if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So when we're reading about Jesus, we're trusting and understanding, okay, I'm learning about God as I'm learning about Jesus. He says to God, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I wonder if that was funny, if anyone heard him, Jesus saying, like talking about himself in his prayer, but eternal life, Satan would love it if he could just have your attention all the time. Satan would love it if you would believe that eternal life is just, well, my home is in heaven. That's eternal life. Yes. Eternal life is you have a home. Salvation is that you have a home in heaven. You're saying, yes, I want to be with God. I don't want to live life my own way. I don't want to be empty. I don't want to be frustrated. There's things I don't know. And if the creator of the universe wants to fill me, have at it. Yes, all of me, please. I want to love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. And your attention is so powerful. Remember what I said when I was dating Jaden, and even now in our marriage, if I want to know and experience my husband or my child or you, if I'm meeting you for the first time, I want to get you to know your story, I have to give you my attention. And the more of my attention I give you, the more I am ready to learn and to understand. So Satan's job, and he's good at it, but you're smarter. The Spirit of God in you is wisdom, is strength, is joy, is peace. So Satan is a defeated foe. He's under the feet of Jesus. We're not scared of him, but we need to be aware of his strategies. And he's done a great job in this world. Satan is the god of this world. Well, I don't like the word great, but you know what I mean. He's succeeded at distracting a lot of people. Social media, music, the broken home, the violence, the identity crisis that so much of the world is going through. And what does he want? He wants their attention off of God, off of this possibility that there could be more. Because God says he's placed eternity in the hearts of every man. And of course he has, because he made that. He made you. His fingerprints are all over you. So of course, the creation would long for truth and the creator. But what does Satan do? Try to bring so many lies and little, just little twists, little tweaks. Oh yeah, you can learn about God, but you can't know him. And so we give our attention to, this crisis, and oh, I gotta do this, and I gotta look my best, and I gotta get Botox, and I gotta go bake cookies. And we get so caught up giving our attention to everything else, and we don't realize that we can live the whole day, no matter what you're doing with your spouse, with work, that you can give your attention to God in everything, and that you live in union with him, and that you seek him all day. Yeah, spend time with him in the morning or before bed, but you can talk to him all the time. And we shortchange ourselves, like, well, I'll talk to God about that later. Why don't you just talk to him now about it while you're driving or while you're washing dishes or while you're in that meeting? Why don't you go pray in the Spirit on the way to your next meeting? And the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you all things. God does not play hide and seek. God wants to reveal himself to you, and he did that in Jesus. And now all it takes is you saying, I believe. God spoke, and so I believe. And, you know, we shortchange ourselves because we're like, oh, I couldn't say that over me. But you're not the author of that. God is. That gives me so much confidence. Well, God said it first. And he's the one who made the world. And he's the one who's bringing Jesus back one day. So I'm living in that authority. I can speak his authority. He's given me authority, and I can speak that over my day. I can speak that over my life. And it comes from knowing the word, right? When you know the truth, it sets you free, and it's in his word. John 14:26 is the one I was just talking about. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It's spirit to spirit, right? The word says we worship God spirit to spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So we come to God through his truth. You don't come to God and tell him, how frustrating is it when someone tells you who you are? Or when your spouse thinks, you know, some of the disagreements Jaden and I have had is because I assumed to know Jaden and I didn't ask him. Well, what did you mean by that? This is how I took it, and I assumed that I knew you in that scenario, and I shouldn't have done that. I should have given you my attention and I should have asked you. What did you mean by that? I took it this way. Nope. Oh, Eden, I meant it this way. Okay. And we've said to each other, let's not assume to know things about each other. Let's not get familiar with our marriage or with each other. And the same goes for God. Don't tell God who he is in your own understanding, in your own experiences, in your own loss or heartache. Take him at his word because it's truth. And when you worship him in spirit and in truth, because you have a spirit, so we don't come to him in our own thoughts or understandings. That's why we love him with all of us. We go, Lord, not I, but you. Not my life, but Christ in me, living through me, empowering me. And we take that posture every day, every moment in your marriage. Let me tell you, You could have an issue right now that you feel you've had for 20 years, and God could set you free today with one word, with one verse, with one revelation, because more than likely you've been living a lie somewhere, something the enemy spoke to you or religion spoke to you, but God is a redeemer, and he can bring supernatural restoration when a heart seeks him with everything and goes, God, I don't know things. I'm gonna humble myself under the mighty hand of God because he cares for me, and I'm gonna cast my cares on him because I was never meant to carry them. Why are we so obsessed with carrying things? Why are we so obsessed with trying to figure it out in our own strength when the creator of the universe is saying, love me with everything and let me fill you and let me give you wisdom and peace and strength? 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, by him, you were called into companionship and participation with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Jesus finished the work that we should have had to do to come back into right standing with God, we must receive Jesus. Okay, I believe Jesus came to die for me, and I'm so glad I don't have to do that myself. And I receive Jesus. God's calling me to know him, to companionship. You are being called into relationship, but it's a partnership, a participation. How can two walk together unless they agree? And not God getting an agreement with you, because did you know you before you formed yourself in your mother's womb? Come on, right? And these are the things, these are the self-talks I have with myself. I'm like, all right, Lord, you teach me what your word says. I don't want to try to understand it in my own understanding when your words are spirit, right? John 6:63, your words are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. I didn't finish that one. I'm getting so excited. I'm jumping around. And the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. What God spoke first is spirit and life. So fill your mouth with spirit and life. And believe that if God said it, it's mine, because he knows. He is the creator of the world, and I'm just going to trust him. That's faith. Faith is just going, I don't fully get it, but I want it, and so I will choose, and I will walk it out step by step. I will just look to him, and I'll keep moving. I know God's building his church, so I don't need him to tell me to go to church. So that's a step I can take of faith. I'm gonna keep church in my life, in my family's life. I know God says to forgive quickly, so I don't need to pray to him about those types of things. The word gives you a lot of things that you don't need to pray about, because a soft answer turns away wrath. Quit yelling, Eden. Quit raising your voice in this situation. You're getting frustrated. A soft answer. All right, Lord. And then what do? Call to him. Okay, God, I'm reading that scripture. I'm calling to you right now. And you don't have to be formal. I'm just sort of being formal right now. You can just be yourself. Lord, I don't get this. What does it mean? Like, can you help me? I want to be a soft answer that turns away wrath. And he'll show you when you're in that next situation, a thought or an image, or maybe someone will come and talk to you and confirm the verse that he, beyond a shadow of a doubt, like, you're going to get addicted to this. The more you call out to him, you'll see him answering things and confirming things, and your spouse will say something, or the pastor will say something off the stage, and you'll go, many of you have said that to us. How did you know that I was thinking about this week? And how did you, God was showing me that verse, and I said, amen. God loves you. He's confirming it for you. He's showing you beyond of a shadow of a doubt that never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now come with me, Eden. Hold my hand, Eden, and trust me, and call to me, and I will answer you. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Only if you know him, and you can know him. Psalms 34, I can tell you about Jaden, but until you meet him and you talk to him and experience him, you don't really know him. So knowing God is a step of faith. Just like Jaden and I had to set up a date and get to know each other and put time aside, and I had to open my heart to him, but this is far greater. I'm using an analogy you can understand, but God's far greater. This love is your one true love, your first love, who's never stopped loving you, who never will stop loving you, and he wants to speak to you at all times, in everything. And I've started deciding, God's speaking to me all the time, and I want to hear it. I want to know it. And what does he say? My sheep know my voice. So I say, Lord, I know your voice. But how do I know it? I have to abide in his word, because that's how I'm going to get to know him and hear his voice and learn his language. But then it requires a response. He's called me into companionship. When I call someone in my house, what am I waiting for? Jaden, Oscar, yeah? You're waiting for someone to reply. God's called you. Now it's up to you to call him as much or as little as you want, but I pray it's much, 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 much for you. Because he's there at your beck and call 24/7. No office hours with God. 3 a.m, you can't sleep, call to him and I will answer you and I'll show you great things. I'll show you while you're not sleeping. I'll show you what you need to surrender to me, what you need to cast on me. And then say that, Lord, I cast this on you. I refuse to worry about it. I pray, and you pray the scripture. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing hard. And if you decide it's hard, it will be hard. If you decide you can't know him, you won't know him. But he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. That's who you're going to. You're going to the God, you cannot surprise him. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it full well. You know the thoughts that I think, Lord. Psalm 139. And he's saying, just give it to me, Eden. Give me whatever, your frustrations, give me your doubt, but then take my truth. Receive my truth, because that's how wholeness and healing and life happens. You receive me. You believe me. You love me. So as we close, he's been pursuing you and will never stop pursuing you. Loving the Lord your God with all of your heart is you pursuing him. That's it. When you love someone, you love being pursued by them. He loves it that you call him. He loves it that you worship him. Even if you had a hard day, even if you yelled at someone, his love is not based on those things. And the more we bring the word in, we can shout down those lies, like we sang today. Your word is a better word. It shouts down the lies that have been holding me back. And today we say, no more. No more excuses, no more just learning about God, but I'm going to experience him, let him live through me. I can know all things as I know Holy Spirit, and I let him live in me. And as I look to his truth, not my own understanding, not my pastor's understanding, godly counsel is a good thing, Bible talks about it, but why wouldn't you go to the source first, Eden? That's what God's been challenging me on. Eden, I'm right here. I'm like, right, Lord, I'm sorry. He doesn't need you to say sorry, but yeah, I repent. I'm not going to keep doing this my way. Repentance is an action of a turning around, right? Leon talks so good about this in his messages. Repentance is an attitude of the heart. Yeah, not my way, Lord. Not my will, Jesus said, but your will be done. Look what happened when Jesus said that. Lord, if you can take this cup, if there's another way to do this, but not my will, and look what he accomplished by putting God's will first. What could you and I accomplish? By knowing him and letting him live through us, he's calling us to great exploits with him. And what are those great exploits? Mark 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That is what God's calling you into. But you need to know him. You need to believe that it's by his spirit that I do these things. It's not in my own effort. Let's take this in context. But he gives you the power to do it as you rely on him and in your marriage and in your career and in everything, your dreams, your purposes, it comes alive in you and the things you do, you get so excited about because I'm not doing this alone, I'm doing this with him and I can know him and he wants to lead me in my conversation with my mother-in-law, in my school decision with my kids, he wants to teach me all things. Call to me and I will show you great things. Not even just things, great things. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Right? Yes and amen. Amen, Jesus. That's mine. You can say that out loud right now. Amen. I want to know you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Miracle Channel podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and stay tuned for new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.